UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And people, it's amazing I made it to work today. A lot of fun conversations we're going to have about yesterday's day, but let's get it rolling into the weekend. Steve Brummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
It's good to, again, I know it's day two, but it's good to have you in here. And listen, it's interesting, man. It's Friday. We got some football last night, but now the nerves are starting to kick in a little bit. Now the Big Ten's back. Now you see players from the Big Ten are opting back into football and different things. So it's
good.
I mean, this, you know, you had the OSU cornerback yesterday, and this morning they kind of announced about 15 minutes ago that Rashad Bateman from Minnesota is opting back in, it sounds like.
He's good, too.
Jeff Brohm's begging Rondell Moore apparently to come back. So
really
take that for what you will. Cares about the kids. So
we didn't get involved in that saga.
Yeah, right.
Texter, why would you ask that question?
Marcus, like, are you hungover?
You answer that question for them, Steve.
Well, you do have a banana.
I'm intrigued.
Is that how you determine if why did you?
What's the question? I'll answer it.
I mean, maybe you need potassium. I don't know. Does your potassium go down when you get drunk?
Hey, side note: when I played AAU and we woke up every morning, I ate a banana every time, and it because if not, I'd start cramping.
Oh yeah,
Brian. If somebody asked you if Marcus is hungover, what would you say?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I'm kidding.
If you are.
Marcus came in with a bunch of energy today. He came in and he was ready to go.
But here's the thing. The only reason why I don't know the answer to that is because me and Marcus have became friends outside of this. And I've saw Marcus before in some conditions where I'm like,
well, let me just say
he's
this.
Rough. But well, here's the thing, though. The next day, it's like, he's like got like this superpower.
Perfectly fine.
Like you know,
he's
hey,
a superhero.
We're up in Indiana, and I'm like, oh man, he's
sure he's gonna make it.
Hope he's all right. You sure you don't need me to take you back? You want to stay in our room? Like, we got two beds, man. Like, me and the wife don't care. Like, you can stay. And then look, the next morning I come down, I'm like, oh, give me some breakfast, and there he is, just in the lobby. Like, what's up? So he may.
No, see, if you asked me right now, if I did not know yesterday was his birthday and we didn't have the conversation on air and he came in, I would have not thought anything of it. I would have thought he's perfectly normal, Marcus. But I will say this: I asked him what vodka he drank last night, and he goes, "I don't even know."
I don't know. After the third bottle, I don't know what it was.
Here's the thing. You know, when you order, so, you know, sometimes you want a specific, you know, type of, you know, drink, but I didn't specify. That's why, I mean, I don't even know.
I got you. So, bartender special.
Yeah, listen, out of first commercial break, we'll talk about, you know, all that stuff that happened yesterday. I had an amazing day. Steve is kind of giving us our first initial nerves for the weekend, the Miami thing. How does Brian Hall get ready for Miami? I mean, like, how are you getting ready moving into the weekend?
Well, real quick, I will get into the football, but I did want to give an update real quick for some people. My dad is having surgery today on his gallbladder, but everything is supposedly pretty well. He has an infection that they're monitoring, and that's the only possible issue. But the good news is he passed his COVID test yesterday because that allows him to take surgery, so or have surgery. You have to take a COVID test before you have surgery. So if y'all can send some prayers to my dad today as he prepares for that. So that, to start off your question, a lot of my thought process is with my dad right now. But in the meantime, I am getting ready for college game day tomorrow. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, you look at this, you say number 17 versus number 18. I get it. The rankings are a little bit whack right now. But at the same time, it's Miami. Like, Miami is still Miami to me, and I still get pumped up to play Miami. I know they've been down for a while, and we get this, oh, they're back every year that they get a big win, and then they go blow a game. But my thing is beating Miami is still beating Miami. I still remember the U, and having the U come here in front of College game day is in a game where Louisville it's very, very, very winnable. And I think we need to get some revenge for last year because I think – And we haven't really, you know, adjusted to the way Satterfield's coaching is yet. You know, when Bobby Petrino lost to somebody, we knew that the next year it was going to be revenge, that if he could put up a bunch of points against them, he was going to put up a bunch of points against them. We don't know if that's really Satterfield's mentality, but you got to think in the locker room, he's telling these guys, you remember last year, because right now the Miami loss was probably his worst loss since he's been here. And I think he wants to get revenge on Saturday in a big way. And I think he's going to have these guys ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is how the last 24 hours of moving into the Miami situation kind of went for me.
All right, listen.
Okay, you know, earlier in the week, we kind of went from last year and we're just kind of like, Miami's still Miami. Miami still got the guys, you know, all these things, right? Then, you know, you kind of like, you know, stories come out that their cornerback room is getting really thin and, you know, and you start to hear kind of like what, you know, what they're bringing to the table and you're just kind of like.
One thing, guys. Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. We have to make a decision in the next minute. Do we want to take the 16 or the 46 for the U.S. Open update?
Let's take it. Let's take it.
Yeah, we'll go ahead.
We want to go ahead and get it out of the way. So we're going to do it in about a minute and a half. I just wanted let you guys know.
Yeah, just
cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah, going from.
And we'll come back after it, too. Yeah, we'll come back after it. So,
actually, no. Let's take it and go to commercial break.
Do you want
to
do that?
Yeah.
And then we'll just do a long second segment?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we do that, then we can roll all the way to 11.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be
that's
better.
That's probably better.
Because I might
sorry,
just go
catch I didn't mean to cut you off like mid-story, but.
No, I just know.
I knew
like,
we were getting close when y'all were going to get on a topic, and I was like, all right, update.
Listen, I don't know if I'd get in trouble for saying this, but like, I just know people check out with these updates. Like, I was, so I didn't know.
So let's do the update.
I didn't know whether
to
tell people that we were coming back, because I was running, listening to Andy and them yesterday. Day and like the update come on and I'm like on my jog and I literally like pull my headphones out like I was like running
show's
you know?
Over
I was like
we got
yeah.
30 seconds
so anyway so yeah we'll do that but when we after the break when we come back we'll do a long segment and we'll talk about the Miami game because I'm interested to hear where you were going with that because I know where my nerves are moving and what it, because the opportunity in front of us is
still got
huge.
About 15
no listen my I went through the entire metamorphosis of what I think about this game moving forward. And listen, it might surprise you where I'm at on this one because this is a place
time
that
for
I've
US
never
Open
really
update.
Go.
There it is.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 120th U.S. Open Golf Championship. Winged Foot already proving to be more of a test this morning. Just 8 players under par for their second round. Rory McIlroy capitalized on favorable conditions Thursday to shoot 3-under 67. And for the most part, Rory kept the ball in the fairway.
Yeah, for the most part, I did drive it well. I hit my irons good. When I got out of position, I tried to just get myself back in position and play from there. I didn't really take on too much. You know, kept it in play, which is really important.
Now, the 2011 U.S. Open champion McIlroy is two off the lead. He tees off in about 3 hours. Justin Thomas is the leader at 5-under. He also goes off this afternoon. Thomas Peters was at 6-under this morning before bogeys at 10 and 11. Back to 4-under along with Patrick Reed, one back. Top-ranked Dustin Johnson off to a good start after his 3-over 73. Two birdies in the first seven, now plus one and six back. I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One.
Oh, come on! There it is.
In golf, the right adjustments can make all the difference. We feel the same way about financial planning. With Fidelity Wealth Management, your dedicated advisor will work with you to create a personalized plan for your full financial picture. And as your needs change, they'll help you make adjustments so you can stay on target. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. That rocks. Brian, you should have gave me the lyrics, man. You should have just gave me the lyrics.
I don't know if I can play the lyrics.
I'm sure you can't. But that hook, maybe the lyrics with the hook.
Hey, I would just want you guys to admit that after my screw-up of playing Puff Daddy, since then I've been enjoying it. I'm on Miami.
It's been good, man.
Yeah, you know what? Turn that down just a little. Actually, you got to pull it off now. Yep, sorry. You got to pull it off. We got a couple texts about the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is up and running, I believe. Okay, so Steve, this is one of those things that going into break, I said, you may be surprised, especially when you know my history of emotional roller coasters when it comes to getting ready for games, big games at that.
Sure.
So here's the thing. Miami. I respect Miami. You know this.
Absolutely.
I respect Miami I respect UAB.
Yeah.
When you have recruiting areas of recruiting hotbeds of talent.
Absolutely.
You know, what's my team? Troy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those teams don't, mm-hmm. you don't mess around with those teams, you know, because they're from areas of competitive football and there is no intimidation element a lot of times, you know, so. These are the kind of teams I played on teams like this. Athletically, we could go with anybody. So any given night,
yeah,
you knew you could. You could be number one, or you could lose to anybody.
100%. I mean, and you've watched it. I mean, there's historical evidence of that, of teams like Troy and different ones playing teams close. I mean, now does it result always in a win?
Right.
No, but they can play. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, when they get it together, when they group it and get it together, they can play.
Yeah.
Okay. So with all that being said, I'm excited about the game, of course. I'm excited about the circumstances surrounding the game. I'm excited about the opportunity for Coach Satterfield to have a big win on a national stage, you know, and just to, I don't even have to say supplant, because he's had big wins on the national stage, but this is like a focused national stage. Like, okay, I've heard about him. I've watched a little Tutu Atwell highlight here and there. I've watched a little McHale come. I heard a couple stats. And, you know, this guy kind of has some things going. Let me sit down, Saturday evening and really check out this Satterfield guy. Okay, I'm an ACC fan. I'm this kind of fan. Like I said, everybody gets all of the information about college football. A lot of times there's their team and the nuggets they get from all the other teams.
Sure.
It's the first time to sit down, see if this team is for real, see if these players are for real. Let's see, are they gimmicks? That's from the Satterfield element. Okay, the Javian, Tutu Atwell. Because here's the thing. When they start getting scouted NFL-wise or people's opinions that matter, even if you start talking BCSs and, you know, bowl game, are they for real, right? What they do is they go to the places where you played the most athletic teams, right? I want to know if Javian Hawkins is for real. I want to know if Tutu Atwell is for real. I want to know if Mikael Cunningham is for real. I want to know if these guys are really real. You go get last year's Miami tape. You know, you go get last year's Clemson tape. You know, you go get these. And it's about three games where you know, I'm going to get your Florida State, I'm going to get your Miami, and I'm going to get your Clemson. Because I know there's professional athletes on those fields.
Sure.
So for these players, I'm like, okay, y'all, this is a chance. You know, real against real. So all that stuff was making me kind of, you know, I don't know, right? So then, you know, I'll also throw in yesterday's moment. This moment did influence me a bit. My guy that was on with Andy. What's his name?
Rabinowitz. Yeah.
Miami guy. Got a chance to listen to an opinion. By that time, by the end of my day yesterday, I went complete 180 degrees from this is your chance to show everybody what we already know. You should waste them. You should show up to waste them. On Saturday night, and Steve, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that in big games. I don't say you should. I don't say two very talented teams. You should beat them real good, right? It's one of those things. You have so much to gain. You individually at every position on this team.
Yeah,
you have so much to gain that I believe it's one of those. If you have any spirit,
yeah,
all the discipline it took for you guys to get here COVID-free, you know, like all the
yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, all the protocols you've been through. I couldn't imagine a team more motivated, you know, or have a team more focused to be ready to perform than the team you got coming into this game.
Yeah.
I don't like when I go that far because – I don't like when blowouts become an expectation, but I don't mean blowout like, I mean a blowout style performance, you know, where you just do the right things. Like whatever level Miami brings, you should be able to match that and then some because of the motivation, because of the level of intensity you should have coming in, you know, relax. Here's the thing. The first couple of plays in the Louisville Western game, when it was falling apart, when you and I were texting back and forth, like, this is going to be a poop show, right? When you saw Mikael Cunningham and Tutu Atwell look over at that sideline as relaxed as they did, I thought about Miami right then and there.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
they're comfortable. They're totally comfortable.
Yeah.
Look. Mikael just got popped and fumbled. You know, Hassan just ran backwards and got caught. And you know what I'm saying? Nobody is even looking at each other with any element of disdain.
Sure.
And I said, this is a different kind of team attitude. They looked calm. And like I said, these camera angles, I don't know if I'm seeing more facial expressions because there's not a lot of spectators, so they're using different camera angles to get into the players' reactions. Maybe that's why we caught the punter a little better, you know, over the sideline talking about that's not my fault. But watching it, Steve, watching how relaxed they were when quite a few plays went bad, you know, I'm like, this is the relaxed team, focused team that I'm going to need to show up next week.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I worry that I – listen, I like being – I don't know how to say this. I like being nervous. Mm-hmm. I like being – I like the feeling of
– open it up to the phone lines, by the way.
Yeah, 8150-939.
38-31-939.
I like feeling like, okay, going into this game, we need to do this, this, and this to win the game. But, man, I mean, it's the first one we've done like this, pregame show we've done like this in a long time. But I really, after watching Miami again and watching, and I understand they're both game ones. So I think we had some rust. I think Miami had some rust too. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see two better teams mm-hmm. out there. I feel like it's going to be a disappointment if you lose. Like, yes. like this isn't yes. one. Yeah, this isn't one where I think we could come in here Monday after
I don't
a loss
have an and, injury. Yeah. Listen, I don't have an excuse for you not to perform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you could tell me that the team across from me is more talented, and I can look you right in the face and mm-hmm. say, individually, but this team and what it has to play for, it could be setting up for a Lamar, I don't even want to say Lamar, a Louisville versus Florida State, the Lamar game.
Yeah, where you really, I mean, and even if the score's not that big, one where you just really put your foot down and it's like.
They can't stop us. It's one of those things where, I know you appreciate this. Anybody who appreciates a boxing, just if you've ever seen Mike Tyson, do his double gut to head shot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a fan of boxing and you watch somebody hit somebody low and watch them pull their guard down and watch them go upstairs,
yeah,
you're like, that was relaxed execution.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm going to listen, before he even realizes he's dropping his hands to his gut,
yeah,
the next shot is sure. going upstairs. And when you see that in boxing, you're like, that's the sweet science, you know.
Yep.
That's not just you know, wild, you know, bludgeoning, right?
Yeah.
So the same way, I think you're going to be able to see a gashing, you know, a multiple gashing, a run. Yeah. They can't stop this, and as soon as they think this is coming, we're going to play action.
Yeah.
The play action pass. Listen, going back on the game, the big play to Braden Smith and the follow it up with that play action that got Pfeiffer in that end zone that quick.
Yeah.
That was like the double. That was like the sweet boxing double shot.
Absolutely. Because
there was like, you're not ready for that play action. Yeah. And that was a hard play action. And you put 2-2 out there going right out to the, you know, flats. You, their safety bit. And it was like, boy, yeah. That was an awesome setup and headshot.
No, it was, and
that will work against anybody.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, it will. And just watching them, man, I go back and I watched what we did, and I watched what they did, and it was just one of them things where it's not even so much that I'm saying, well, Miami ain't got this or that. It's just the execution. The offense we run, the personnel too, a little bit of everything. It's just, it's an odd feeling to be back as Louisville football, feeling like Miami's coming to town, and I'm going,
you can't lose. Come on in here.
Yeah, you can't, almost like
there,
I said.
There's no way Miami's going to leave here that where you say Miami was just better.
Yeah, right. Right. Even if they beat you, even if it's a classic and they beat you, King throws a touchdown with no time on the clock and it's game winner. You're gonna come in here on Monday and go, we let it get away. Not and me and you, we love finding because we are able to, we're Louisville fans, so we look at the big picture too. You know, okay, how's this affect the program? We don't necessarily just week to week, okay, Louisville lost, let's make fun of them today. Okay, now you're on the Pit. Like, we look a little bit bigger than that. And there's no scenario. So a lot of times I could come in here and I could say, well, look, man, you had College game day, you went toe-to-toe with Miami. It was awesome game, blah, blah. I just don't see any way it's anything other than – and I like this. I like that we're here. I don't see any way that anything in a loss doesn't result in any other show on Monday than you coming back in here and saying, well, you lost. You should have won. You should have won the game. Now you got to regroup. Now you got to move on to Pitt. But, I mean, you know, you should have won that football game because I really think they should beat Miami. And I kind of think they should beat them pretty good. After watching them, I just think it's a good matchup, man. I think it's a really good matchup. Even Harris, man.
Okay, best matchup. Best matchup is
Our receivers on the
corner. Receiver cornerback.
Yeah, corner. Yeah, absolutely. I say defensive backfield in general. I wasn't all that impressed with their defensive backfield against UAB. Again, though, I do play the – I assume everybody will be a little bit better, but I assume Louisville will be a little bit better too, so it still kind of equals out. I think Louisville probably played the better team. Maybe not athlete for athlete, but I think Louisville probably played the better team.
Yeah. The better system. Yeah. I think Western will wipe the floor with UAB.
Yeah, but I mean, athlete for athlete. I mean, I think UAB can probably go with anybody. right, you know what I'm saying? So
and juiced up. Like, you know, I'll give UAB the credit. They had their "this is our shot" juice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's go to Western. I mean, they're not playing another game even close to that. I mean, you win that game, you know, I mean, you're looking at a New Year's Six game. I mean, seriously, Western beats Louisville, they're looking at a New Year's Six game.
When they beat Louisville, then go undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, that, of course, that would be their goal. So, but with saying that, man, I mean, I think you saw both teams and you say, with Louisville, you said best matchup, Louisville's receivers against their DBs. I didn't think Miami covered very well at all.
Okay, what's next? What matchup? You can be creative, quarterback versus quarterback. You know, you can go our wide receiver room.
Ooh. Well, I think the next most important matchup would be the Louisville linebacking core on De'Aaron King. Will probably be the next most important matchup.
Can De'Aaron King manipulate our linebackers?
Because, and the reason I say linebackers and not DBs is because I'm more worried about his feet than I am his arm. So can the linebackers keep him from getting third level? Uh-huh. You know, because, I mean, when he gets third level, I mean, it's brutal. You know, because, I mean, now you've got three or four DBs who are spread across an entire field, and it's like, okay, so can our linebackers – you know, maybe you'll see more four linebacker sets.
Chris Curry says, WKU gave UAB their first loss last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And UAB's on the way back up. You remember they canceled their whole program, you know. But, I mean, you remember they did. And Jordan Howard went to Indiana. Staples come here. Jamari Staples come here. I mean, guys that were playmakers.
That was a bloodbath.
Yeah, Jordan Howard's in the NFL still, you know. I mean, he was a UAB guy. So
I remember when I went down.
Yeah, so I'm like, it would be the same thing, I think, today. If UAB disbanded today, you would see teams like that. You would see them go to colleges and go to the NFL. So
Texas says Miami O-line versus our defensive line
is most important. I like that.
I don't know, man.
I think that answer could be – there's a lot of different answers.
I'm open to the conversation.
The most important to me is the receivers versus the DBs because I think that's the biggest – that's our biggest, what's the word I'm saying, advantage. Uh-huh. So I think you have to capitalize on your biggest advantage. And that's the one place I know we're better. O-line against their D-line, I think we can – see, again, this is where we go back. I think we can hold our own. I think our DBs looked better. Pigram really didn't test them.
Uh-huh.
So – like, I feel like they looked better.
See, I don't know if we were making Pigram throw a little short.
No, that could be the case.
You know what I'm
sure,
saying?
Like, sure.
Listen, I'm telling you, man.
Maybe he tried to test him and couldn't.
Monty McCoy says punter versus punter.
Jeez.
And isn't that punter All-American, though? Like, they have a big-time punter.
I'm sure. I mean, they're...
Yeah, I think Miami, like, really has a big-time punter.
I mean, usually everybody's got a big-time punter in the Power 5. I mean, not many Power 5 teams just have a crappy punter. I mean, there's only, what, how many, 60? You know, it's like there's, I mean, imagine all the punters in the high school.
Is that why I was so angry that we couldn't put a football through the end zone on the kickoff? Like, Louisville should have two kickers that can put it through the end zone on a kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know that they want to. I swear to you, I think some of that's by design. So it's...
I don't like it.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
That's one of those things, like, listen, Seth.
But
I feel you, but I don't like
it. But it does help, man, because sometimes if you're just... But here's the thing. If I'm... And let's get nerdy for a second, though. If I'm playing the percentages say on a kickoff... I'm making this number up, but... Mm-hmm. For my point, percentages say only 30% of the time do they actually make it past the 25. Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm probably going to give you a shot because I'll take that because you're only going to gain about 5 yards from what you would have got anyway.
And there's a fumble percentage.
And there's a fumble. And there's just a we tackle you at the 15 or the 10. And now it's. You know, so, I mean, I don't know the percentages. Now, the percentage may be bigger than that, and I may just, that may be a total jackass thing I just said. Like, I don't know, you know. But I would say there's a method to that madness.
Yeah, a good, here's what's funny. Optically, I'm uncomfortable with it.
No, I hate it. I hate how it looks. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It looks like we're incapable of blasting it out of the end zone.
But when Louisville opens the game against Western and kicks it out of the back of the end zone, and then the next time kicks it right to the front of the end zone.
To the 5 yard line. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, they meant to do that.
No, yeah. It's the sarcasm, snarky in me that says, I don't like that.
Right.
You know, it's different.
I mean, sure.
You know, yeah, that's how I feel like. Yeah. But I feel like going, that's one of those things it's fun to complain about.
It's like on my NCAA football when I had Pimp Academy. I don't know if that's okay to say, but I did. That was my. That was my team every year.
That should be your fantasy football name.
They were the Devils. And I had these awesome jerseys, but I would move them all up to 99, the whole team. And I would, the whole team, I'd make 99. And my kicker, I would kick it like through the uprights every time. It was awesome. Team is awesome. Never lost.
Pimp Academy. That's the rebel in you. That's how you express yourself.
Oh, they were powder blue and gray and black. Oh, they were just sick jerseys, man.
This was around your Duke mm-hmm. fascination time too.
Yep.
Mm. So yeah. But yeah, point being, the kicking game is something. Listen, if he does rugby style punts right, I'm gonna have fun complaining about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally. That's one of those, Steve, that your cousin does. I'm just going to complain about. And then when one bad thing, the moment we give up one punt return for a touchdown, right? Listen, we're going to cause fumbles on punts. We're going to get great field position on punts. We're going to get all this good stuff. And I'm going to just, I don't like that, right? And then one time something bad happens, I'm going to say, see, from the beginning, I told you. The rugby style punt wasn't going to work. Marcus, we're number 3 in the country in punt coverage and efficiency and special teams. Well, you could be number 1.
Yeah.
So, which really means I don't care.
If
just get them off clean.
Right. And I like the rugby style. So I think Loop will be fine.
You like the rugby style because you hold your breath when everybody.
Anytime we play a rugby kicker, I'm like, oh, I hate it because you always are like, God, you have to keep tabs on him because a rugby style kicker always has the okay from the coach. If they turn their back, you go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you take off.
So any 4th and 2s, 4th and 3s,
sometimes longer depending on how fast they are. Now, if it's anything too long, coach probably's like, for the love of
the
you
ball.
Take off and don't get it, I will kill you. So
there's some situations where, listen, there's some situations, Steve, that I really do think a coach can say something and a kid can record it. And a kid could be cancel culture kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my coach said this to me. And I really think that you could sit in a courtroom, right?
Yes.
The state versus Scott Satterfield.
Yes.
And the plaintiff is his punter.
Yes.
And Scott Satterfield has threatened to end this kid's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could literally see them sitting in court and asking Coach Satterfield, "Is this true? Did you say this to this young man?" And I could see Coach Scott Satterfield saying, "I absolutely did, Your Honor. Can you describe it?" "Well, Your Honor, we had a 3-point lead, the ball on our own 30,
mm-hmm.
and it was 4th and 8.
Yeah.
And that defendant over there, he tried to fake punt."
Yeah.
And I could see the judge saying, "Case dismissed."
Yeah. Done. "You tried to what, son?"
"Contempt."
"Tried to what?"
"Your Honor, it was 4th and 9, and he tried to fake punt and run. Your Honor, I gave him the ability to call the fake at his own discretion, and he waited until it was 4th and 9 to try that fake punt."
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Mike, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
All right. So, I Marcus, I'm sorry, man. I got to defend Steve here. So, feels like, you know, as much as I hate Kentucky, it feels like the last two times I've called, I'm defending Kentucky players. One, which was Lynn Bowden running all over us. But this time, it's the punter. Now, I don't know. I guess I'm exaggerating. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Austin McGinnis ran for 100 first downs in that rugby-style punt. I think that was his name, the punter mm-hmm. for Kentucky. But I remember him taking off against everybody he played, and it seemed like people would turn their backs, and he would just go. And there's 4th and 19 and 4th and 15 where it seemed like to me he took off. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I felt like that guy got a first down in every game on a fake punt. But I just need to defend Steve on this one. Every time I see a rugby punter, it goes through me, man. It's just like every time I see a quarterback take off.
So that's all I got. If you're a coach, you intentionally recruit rugby style punters every time.
I don't know about that, but I know if I'm a special teams coordinator, I don't want to see one.
Mm-hmm. No. Listen, I appreciate the call. Listen, Mike, I agree with the hold your breath. The one thing I will say, and again, I even put this one on Coach Satterfield a little bit. The first punt, the fumble.
Yeah.
I kind of put that on Coach. I know. I feel that Coach Satterfield probably put that on himself.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Listen, Coach Satterfield is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I guarantee in 4th and 1s in rain, I guarantee so many times in life his coach just said, "Make sure you get the snap."
Yeah, sure.
Everything else will take care of itself.
Sure.
Just get the snap.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a camera on the sideline,
yeah,
and nobody went over to that punter and just said, "Son, this is your first punt.
Yeah.
Get the snap."
Yeah.
Because after that, like, yeah, muscle memory is going to do all the work.
Yeah.
But your brain is going to have to say, "It's going to be slippery.
Yeah.
You catch this football." Now, if he said it, and I don't know about it, cool. You know what I'm saying? But that's just one of those things you got to remind.
Well,
them.
They got it on film now, too. That's why I'm not really, I say, look, I'm not worried about it, but we've spent 15, 20 minutes on the punter in the first hour.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not as worried because, again, like I said, a lot of these things you get on film. That's why I liked how the offensive line, for instance, okay, it looked like we were struggling to start the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make some changes, putting guys in different places.
And Steve, those changes may not have been necessarily – panic changes or anger changes.
No.
Like when you go back and see the footage of the holding call, that was a terrible call. Mm-hmm. So maybe, and for them to grade out as the number one offensive line, when we first saw that, we're like emotional. We're like, yeah, I'm glad he got him out of there. Get him out of there and get somebody else in there. Yeah. It's like, no, Steve, they're playing great. I'm rotating to keep my guys fresh.
Yeah,
at all the positions.
Well, and he has what looks, to my eye, is a luxury in you have multiple people who can play multiple positions. You know, I always joke with our praise and worship team at church. We have 12 people that can all play like four or five different instruments. So I'm like, God, y'all can just interchange. It's crazy. So I'm like, I saw Chandler outside, inside. I saw Cam DeGeorge play two or three different positions. So you're going, okay, if I have this luxury, and Coach Ledford said himself, he said, if we could start six linemen, Cam DeGeorge would start.
What?
What? I missed it.
Brian, play us out.
I'm going to Twitter.
Ooh.
Well, while you're playing us out, Brian.
Let me wait till you pause it.
No, go ahead and play us out.
Yeah, and while you're playing out, I think I know what you saw. Okay. Let me say, for over 50 years, locally owned Moby Dick has been committed to serving the city of Louisville high quality seafood. Quality that starts with their fish, wild-caught cod from the icy waters of the North Atlantic, breaded fish fresh daily. You won't find a better better fish sandwich. And don't forget about their onion rings cooked to order. They've been a mainstay in the community and have been a Louisville staple since 1967. Moby Dick, it's a well of a sandwich.
I love Moby Dick. I love fish sandwiches.
It's my nickname in high school.
I love Moby Dick. This is going to be awesome. Middays with Marcus Maben rolling along on 93.9 The Ville.